Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you. And it is the right time just for you.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles Live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Columbo Chronicles Live with the Rose. And been on the front lines a long time, fighting back for me and my family and for yours and people around the world who depend on freedom to exist and last and be preserved in the United States of America so they have hope. And today we have a great show for you, and we have some very interesting issues of the day on the Justice Club on part two as well. But first, we will enter into part one when we enter into the world of authors and experts for all of you who know about our very special guest. Before we enter into the world of justice, so grab a snack, grab a lunch, a coffee, a smoothie, and sit back and relax and be empowered with our very special guest today. And her name is Beatrice Adinati. And Beatrice wrote a fabulous book called Mindless Behaviors. And let me tell you a little bit about her. Beatrice Adinati reveals our mindless behaviors by ripping our mask off one at a time. That is an intriguing theme. A storyteller, a sought-after business leadership consultant and speaker, and a first-generation Nigerian-American. Adinati's unique experiential marketing perspective gives her the ability to recognize the mindless behaviors that prevent us from reaching our untapped, limited potentials. And we all need to find out how to do that because we all have so many blocks before we move on to the next step. Before we get started, here's a couple issues of the day that we're going to discuss on the Justice Club. There's a red alert, and it's Russia and China planning simultaneous attacks to eliminate the USA, basically. And so we don't want that to happen, so we're going to discuss that. And we're also going to talk about 1 in 5 Americans now live in areas covered by George Soros and backed. And he backs the criminal justice reformers and the people that are in positions of power within the Department of Justice. So we're going to talk about that and if that's a huge conflict of interest for the American people. So before we enter into the world of authors and experts, let's take a break, and then you can sit back and relax, and we will welcome our very, very special guest, Beatrice Adinati.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, we're back. We're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we are about to enter into the world of authors and experts with our very special guest, Beatrice Adonati. And I told you a little bit about her before the break. Let me tell you a little bit more. She says that because we are steeped in biases at a young age and replicate what we see throughout our lives, we wear masks to hide. And she says that we can learn to take them off. And once we do, a transformation is inevitable and the world will never be the same again. She takes a no-nonsense approach, and the reality of what's holding people back and blocking them in their professional and personal lives. She is the founder of Mirror Inc., M-I-R-R-O-R, Inc., as well as the author of Mindless Behaviors, Breaking Through the Unseen Barriers. So why don't we just get started, and let's say hello to Beatrice Adonati. Hi, Beatrice. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm very happy to have you on Columbo Chronicles today to share this important information with our audience. And I thought it was interesting about people wearing a mask. I think most people do that at least from time to time in their life. So what inspired you, Beatrice, to write this book?
Wow. Well, thank you for having me on. My inspiration actually came from my environment. So it was a combination between my personal and my professional life and even the relationships around me. What I've noticed is that I'm noticing it myself as well. So I'm talking not only about from my personal experiences, but even my environmental, that we were doing the same thing over and over and over again, behavior-wise, and we in different ways. And it is almost like being on this wheel of, like, we can say karma, or on this wheel of, like, behavior patterns that, like, they're very micro in nature, but it kind of get us stuck. So I would talk about my friends and, like, we'll be in these different relationships, but it's really the same relationships played out in a different way. And what I started to realize, I stepped back and I said, this is a pattern. like, do this person know that they're doing this in this relationship, or do they know that they're doing that to me? And, like, what I realized is that even in my family structure, that a lot of us are unaware. And so I started, like, taking notes and, like, even following my own patterns and my own how I communicate with my environment and relationships. And what I found out is it's a little bit more conditional, and we pick up, like, certain unhealthy patterns along the way. So I would say that is, like, personal and professional all the way.
I think so too, because you just sparked a thought in my brain about how so many politicians are wearing a mask and they're telling you one thing and then they do the opposite. So they actually are wearing a mask, and maybe they're doing it unconsciously, along with the general public. So so what are micro issues of oppression? What does that mean?
So micro issues of oppression is habits, behavior patterns that are very detrimental that we regularly overlook. And, like, what happens is you pick up this pattern from, it could be from a social gather experience or a traumatic experience or environment, but it's like something like you wouldn't think that it would be nothing, but eventually it basically blew up to something really, really big. So I'll give you an example. So, like, let's say you are in you have a best friend, right? And your best friend tends to dismiss you every time you talk or something. So, and then you will laugh about it. So in the beginning, you're like, okay, well, when I have something important, you're like, okay, well, that's how she is or that's how he is. And then all of a sudden it starts to progressively get irritating. Then all of a sudden you're like now arguing with your best friend, so-called best friend or whatever, about the situation. And then what it blows up into, they might have done something really, really like, really small that it broke the camel's back, and all of a sudden it was an outright blood war. And then now you don't talk anymore. So what started as something dismissive have basically blew up to something in, something really big, not knowing that, like, not really knowing the root of, like, tackling and communicating effectively the root of the reason why they're dismissing you, number one, or there's something that you haven't addressed the situation. So, like, it's really, like, levels of miscommunication, which could be that it's overlooked and it's pretty oppressive through time that it just basically blow up into something crazy. So I call them micro issues of oppression because it's oppressive because it doesn't make you feel good in that moment. You're just like, oh, okay, that's nothing until it really becomes something and it just balloons.
Yes, because I think, you know, when somebody dismisses what you are saying, even if they're not interested and they don't even be, you know, have the courtesy to listen and say, oh, okay, or whatever, you know, at least, you know, communicate with you that they heard you, it's very rude and it's hurtful, too, to a lot of people. And I think you're right about that. You know, I do. I really do. And I think it's happened to all of us. It's like, okay, I guess what I'm saying is not very important. And it is rude.
So, and there are many incidents that that happens. Like, you ever had a friend that you stopped talking to for no reason, and you're like, something little happened, y'all had a sellout, and you can't even trace the root. That's part of it. So,
and you know, I think Beatrice, it also goes into customer service. I think it's really rude when customer service behaves as if, oh my God, when's she going to stop talking? You know, and viewing as a complaint and making you feel like you're really bothering this person. That's her job, but she apparently thinks you're not important enough to listen to what you have to say. I think that's a big issue for customer service as well. I think they should read your book, Mindless Behavior.
Definitely.
So how do we recognize if we're actually involved in some of these mindless behaviors personally,
you know,
not just the other person?
Personally, I feel like one of the biggest things is that we don't really step back and self-audit ourselves or even reflect on a regular basis. And sometimes, like, if you're like, it's great to say, like, if something like really, something really big happens, step back and not be in your feelings, but really like say, wait, what part did I play in creating this behavior to happen? Because nine times that's kind of like a trigger, because most of the time you realize there's something that you're doing that is causing this reaction to happen. And it's more of you being, it's more of that unawareness. So I will tell people, like, you know, if you're having any troubles or you're stuck in any situation, really step back and ask yourself, what part did I play to contribute to this situation happening? And that's where the answers usually come. So that's where the awareness starts to, like, come in, and then you really start to self-audit or reflect. So I feel
I think your information helps people to remind us to look in the mirror and question our own faults, you know, what's happening, like you said, to cause this issue with that particular person. And sometimes I don't think it's anything. I think maybe it's the other person as well who just doesn't want to listen to you. And so I think it's a kind of a two-way street where both people need to read your book, Mindless Behavior.
Yeah.
And,
it's a communication.
And so, yeah. And so can you give us any examples of you're saying that people wear masks, and give us any examples of becoming aware and switching faces?
This is an easy one. I always say the work environment is the easy way. It's the easiest way to figure out whether you have a mask or not. the mask is when you, in multiple settings, we kind of switch faces. So, like, you're the cheerleader in one setting. In one setting, like, you're, like, the professional one. Or another setting, you're a hippie. Or through to your family, you're the reserved one. So, like, you're going from one situation to the next, becoming something else. And I feel like society allowed that to happen in some way, because, like, you know, you have to dress a certain way when you're in corporate. You have to wear your hair a certain way, or you have to meet these standards, and, like, all these unrealistic expectations that we put on each other and put on other people and basically force people to wear masks, especially when you're in school. I'm going to personally say I did not like school due to the rigidness and the one way of one track learning process that we basically experienced through my duration of school. But that basically put me in a box as well of, like, having to be a certain way, having to do certain things to please certain people. And, like, you know, it takes a while to break out of it, too. So I have masks on. Now I'm, like, a little bit more of, like, I'm what you see is what you get. Like, I've been like that in high school because I feel like people's opinion doesn't really matter but my own. Not saying that not everybody, but, like, my parents, my mom, and certain close people, like, they can still affect me. But I'm just saying that, like, there are, like, that mask is really the one of the mindless behaviors, and to be aware of it is just basically observing your environment.
What kind of reminds me of my mom. She's passed now, but my kids used to say, gosh, you know, Nani just says whatever she wants, you know, and she doesn't even care, you know. And she just reminded me, you know, she totally took her mask off as she got older. Threw it away, all of them.
You know what? I noticed the older people get, the more they don't care what they say. And, like, yeah. And just life, like,
I mean,
forget it. I'm just going to tell you everything.
So, let's think here. What about your childhood? Did you wear a mask when you were a child, do you think?
I went to a Catholic school. So I went to Catholic school till my first 2 years in college. And I struggled with it. Like, I mean, all these sacraments, all these things that you have to comply to. And I used to get kicked out of religion class because I was the one with a million questions. Like, I don't understand that verse. I don't, like, understand that story. So, like, I just felt like I had to become something that I'm not. And this perfect Catholic girl. And then when I grew up, as I grow older, I just started to discover, why am I trying to please people that have the same problems or even worse problems than me? And I started, and as a little child, as a young girl, I just started observing and just watching people. I'm like, I cannot believe this is someone that I'm looking up to. And, like, this is going through my head. Like, And so as the as I get older, the mask started coming off. And
yes, I had the same experience with Catholic school. I understand totally.
So yeah,
yes,
yeah. Since they couldn't answer my
questions,
I just
left the class. You have to follow so many rules, and you have to be this person that they want you to be.
Yes.
Not what you want to be, what they want you to be. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, I understand that totally. I think a lot of religions do that, you know. So I'm not
mm-hmm.
knocking religion. I love religion, but I just think, you know, that you have to be careful what religion you are comfortable in. And so what are some of the steps for overcoming these mindless behaviors that we all have?
So one step is to be aware that the behavior exists, and the only way to do that is I always say 2020 had basically, it was 2020 vision. It was a year of reflection. It's a year that the world stopped, and everybody sat on a chair, and they had to sit with their thoughts. And, like, they're not, you know, it wasn't busy. Everything slowed down in that year. We witnessed a lot of things. And that starts to really spark the movement of really reflecting and really thinking about, like, what am I doing with my life? And I feel like being in that space is a powerful space, because they always say that when you're lost, I don't think nobody's ever lost. The more lost you are, the more you're finding yourself, because you're starting to question everything and you're starting to come into who you are. And I feel like in life is a journey. So I feel like the first thing is really like slow down your life. Start to reflect on how you're doing. Check in with yourself. And if something is not working out, really question, like, is it me or is it the environment or how am I contributing to this? And if it's something that is really toxic, how do I leave it? So start asking those,
like a
yourself
husband
the question.
Or a wife?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, seriously, a lot of people, you know, they get it. I'm listening to you and they're into this unconscious behavior and they're stuck in a marriage they're not happy with, and or maybe it's an abusive situation, but they're conditioned to it. So it goes right into your book, Mindless Behaviors of Unconscious
mm-hmm.
Thinking and behaving in a way that isn't good for you because you didn't take a look in the mirror like you suggested.
Yeah. And I think people always think that they are trapped, and that's kind of like the cover of my book is the hand and the brain on the marionette, and it's
mm-hmm.
like there's strings attached to it. And the reason why I put that imagery is almost like we're just bound. We put our brains on strings ourselves, so we create some of these mental prisons after a certain period of time. You know, there's other forms of things happening, but after a certain period of time, you have control over your life, and you have the ability to change it.
That's very good, because I think a lot of people are trapped in thinking certain ways because of their childhood, their religion, their politics, and they can't think outside of the box, and
mm-hmm.
they're unconsciously, like you say, stuck in that mindset. And they can't think out of the box. So a book like yours is very important, especially today, because we're being so manipulated and controlled by media, videos, internet. I mean, we're surrounded by all of these things. And if we don't stop and think and look at everything and not just one station or not one talk show host or newscaster or one style of movies, we get and we aren't using our brain to its full potential, which I think is what your book will help people do, is think outside of the box and think about
another perspective.
Yeah, I think that's great. And so people set better boundaries for themselves, do you think, when they take your steps in your book to become that person maybe that they don't even know they have a potential to be?
Mm-hmm. So, yes. One thing that I do tell people is that my book is not a how-to book. It's more of like, it's more introspective in a way of you coming to your own conclusion. And the reason why I wrote the book in that specific way is because we've been told what to do since we were young. I don't need to tell you what to do. It's just almost all, it's just, I'm just offering another alternative perspective of seeing different situations that will, that potentially keep you stuck and coming up and you having a chance to even come become creative and how to even get out of some of these situations. So it's a starting point of being not only self-aware, but becoming that, activating that God within you and becoming the best versions of yourself through realizing who you are, discovering that in your constant evolution and experience. But and also like becoming aware of how you show up to your environment around you.
Right. Okay. So I also noticed that you talk about behind violent U.S. shootings, mindless behaviors behind violent U.S. shootings, and that is a serious problem today. And of course, we know they're trying to enact gun control, take away the Second Amendment, but we know what happens to countries that don't have any arms against their government. So bad things happen to good people. So, I mean, there's all sorts of crimes, and what is your position on your mindless behavior thoughts on violent U.S. shootings?
Hey, I'm going to be blunt.
Please do.
Okay. Leaders are only relevant in a society of chaos. So who's doing the bidding, number one? And number two, I feel like there are ways to tackle a lot of these issues than taking a gun away, because the gun doesn't have anything to do with the person's mental health that is actually doing the action. I feel like we're basically bypassing that this is violence, all of these homelessness, all these different issues that we have in society is rooted into a system that is poisonous and is sick, is a symptom to a deeper rooted disease. And we're not willing to evolve the system, but we're willing to have these talking heads as leaders leading us without really having real change. And some of the changes that we need is maybe we just can't function the way we functioned 200 years ago, or maybe we just need to evolve to another level. But I feel like there is, I'm not trying to say there's an agenda, but it just kind of seemed like the way that even the news is portraying it, portraying these shootings and it's constant back to back to back, it almost seems like we're constantly gaslighting and traumatized. And I feel like there is a mindless behavior aspect, well, to all of it is a mindless behavior. Because I feel like we already came out of a pandemic that took a mental toll on us. And now we're dealing with all of this. So it's kind of like we stepping back and like, well, what's really happening? Is it the traditional blaming of gun control, or is it a deep rooted issue? And we always put in Band-Aids on it and not getting to the root.
Exactly, because if they were really concerned about it, they would go into the schools and they would teach the kids. They could send officers into the school to talk to the kids and, you know, tell them about, you know, guns and shootings and gangs and all that, which would be a great class, you know, like a Big Brother type of thing. And also they would secure the borders so we didn't have them smuggled into the inner cities, which is what they do, the traffickers. And it's been going on for decades, and they haven't done anything about that. And then also, you know, they would have more community activities for the kids after school, like we did in the past, which they cut out. Kids got to pay $1,000 now just to be in basketball. This is insanity. Our taxes are going where? Where's our taxes going? They used to pay for those kids to play basketball or any sport they wanted. I could play any sport I wanted when I was in school and up through, I'd say like the probably the end of the 80s is when they started to charging parents for school supplies. And I mean, you're talking about a lot of parents who can't afford to pay $100 per kid to get into school. And so, and there's a lot of single parents today. And so I don't see them stopping the video games where kids are now seduced and mesmerized and don't leave their bedrooms and they're shooting people on the video game. And so I see a lot of, I don't see them addressing any of them. I really don't, Beatrice. So I'm totally in, I'm totally with you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and I think that, like, there is, like, many layers. There's many layers to it. We don't teach in school. We're not teach social connection. We're not teach how to even handle our bodies. We not even teach how to cope with life. Or, like, the practical and basic essentials are actually missing from the school system. So we're throwing these kids. These kids are growing up to be adults and constantly they're bullying, because I got bullied in school too. They're angry and they don't know how to function. So, then you're starting to see there's just so many layers of mental health out there. And I feel like the only way to like get through this is to reconstruct everything. And like, I feel like it's going to start with us. It's going to start with the people. And it's going to start with us coming up with a plan, because I don't feel like the leaders are doing anything.
Because they aren't doing anything. That's why, because they're just concentrating on taking the guns away, because they use the media for yellow journalism now and sensationalism and to brainwash people. And everybody is not shooting everybody. Seriously, you have to have a very disturbed person or a mind-controlled person to do such a thing. And not everybody has that mindset, and it doesn't happen everywhere, but they make it sound like, you know, it's happening everywhere. So they sensationalize it instead of taking care of the problem. And I had a friend who was a high school teacher, and she said, you know, that a kid came into school with a gun, and the administration didn't want to address it because they didn't want any bad publicity at the school. So there are a lot of layers to it, like you said.
Absolutely.
So a lot of layers to it.
Multiple health.
And so
go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so.
Oh, I was just.
go ahead.
I know. You go first.
No, I was just going to say that I was glad to see that you don't believe that the politicians are doing anything about it, and neither are the leaders, and we need new leadership when they cannot do their fiduciary duty to protect the children in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I totally think that it's going to happen, and it's going. The time is ticking.
Yeah, I think people are really waking up, especially parents and grandparents, because they want their kids to be safe, you know, and they don't want any kids to be in gangs and, you know, in America, and they don't want them having access to guns. And one of the sure, you know, they need to shore up the the immigration laws and the entry laws. We have 15,000 people headed to our borders again. We have no idea who these people are, what they're carrying, trafficking, whatever. And so this is very serious that they are not upholding the Constitution and performing their fiduciary duty to protect the American people. And I do hope they all get voted out. I really do. I hope the American people are that awake that they vote in new people, maybe people who will actually care about upholding our secure borders and our protection for the children's sake.
Yeah. Yes, I totally agree. And I think that it's time to evolve the system and maybe come up with, like, different ways to, like, you know how they, in psychology, they always say keep the baby and throw the bathwater away. There's a lot of bathwater within these government, within these rules, these regulations. And I feel that everything needs to be under a microscope and, like, what really works and what really doesn't work. And, like, throw it in the garbage, because at this point, that's what we need. Like, let's audit. Let's step back and really audit. Maybe the voting might not be the best thing. Maybe it might be something. Mm-hmm. Maybe it might be a new system. But I feel like we should be open to something else, anything but this. So,
I truly believe that they should, when you vote. I've always thought this since they've had the computers, that they should have a double copy. So when it goes through the machine, one goes directly to your email, a copy of your votes, and then they keep the copy. We don't know if they actually counted our votes. It should be marked, counted, you know, and we should get a copy of it. I think everybody should have a copy sent to their computer.
And I totally agree. I think the government is too advanced to have Stone Age systems.
They can go to the moon. They can certainly create an app that sends you an email.
Right.
Yes. They're so worried about Mars when they can't even get this country together again. Hello.
Right. We can't even vote right.
Can't even get the elections together.
Another topic.
Seriously. Well, Mindless Behaviors is a really great name of your book, a title. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are going to be interested in reading it because it's empowerment, it's enlightening, and it's needed today. And so I think, you know, it's going to be something people will really, really want to read, and hopefully the audience will also. So I totally enjoyed your interview, Beatrice. And what I would like you to do now is your time to shine, and you can leave any messages you want with our audience. You can tell them if you have websites and where to purchase your book.
Okay. Thank you. I would love everybody to basically help break the cycle of reactivity. And it's kind of like the biggest thing that I want to, biggest message out there, because there's so much work to do. And I feel like it just starts with us. You can purchase my book at www.mindless-behaviors.com. And you can follow me at BBWorld01 on Instagram. And it's just Beatrice that I know you on LinkedIn and Facebook. But I just hope we have hope. This world is not lost, and I feel like this is just a stamp in time, and we can get through it. And my book reflects it, and we are all mirrors, and that's the reason why I call my company Mirror Inc., which is a business consulting firm, which I also help small businesses and entrepreneurs get their business launched as well. So there's just a lot of growth, and there's a lot of things that that's in the works, and this social initiative / book is really something that is my life work, and just hope that people like take some of the message and apply it to their own life. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Beatrice Adonati. And I did pronounce your last name correctly, didn't I?
You did.
Oh, good. Because I liked it. I was like, Adonati, what a cool name. And, yeah, it's a great name. So thank you so much for being with us today on Colombo Chronicles, and God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now, Beatrice Adonati has left the building, and be sure to get her book, fabulous book, and you're going to learn a lot. You're going to be empowered and enlightened. We all have these masks. And the name of the book, again, just so you can mark it down, is Mindless Behaviors. And on that note, we're going to take a break, and we will enter into the world of justice. So don't touch that dial. We will be back in just a moment on Colombo Chronicles Live.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
That's right. Don't forget, Father's Day is coming up. You will not want to forget to get your father or your grandfather or yourself a treat. A great gift, Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo. Will Professor Noah find the hidden tablets in the remote jungles of Africa and decipher the code in time to save humanity? Or will he be able to save them from depopulation or extinction? There are some evil forces out there. Will Professor Noah succeed? That is the gist of the book. And it's for any age. It's got adventure. It's political satire. It's fictional. But it has a message. And everyone can take away that message in these challenging times. But it's also got humor. Smile on your face as well. And on that note, why don't we just do that and enter into the world of justice?
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles Live Podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
That's right. There's very little justice in the world today. And anyone who thinks there's a lot of justice is, I don't know, living in an illusion maybe. But we need to get our justice system back on track. And one of the ways we need to get our justice system back on track is by talking about it. I am the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse. The first version was published in 2010. There is a second version coming out in 2022. So be sure to watch for it. I am a longtime advocate of justice. I've had firsthand experience for many years. I've consulted with people around the country to help victims become survivors. It's a very serious issue for me. It's my passion, and I've written articles and won many awards helping people become survivors in America. It is getting more difficult because we have very little justice in America. We just saw Pelosi's husband in the news. He was in a accident. He was arrested for a DUI. Didn't surprise me that they washed away all his sins while everyone else doesn't get that same treatment in this two-tier justice system. One for the rich and one for the peasants. So, one in five Americans now live in areas covered by George Soros backed criminal justice reformers report. This is not a good thing. Leftist anti-police billionaire George Soros has dumped $40 million over the last 10 years into political races in an effort, and I want to add for Democrats, in an effort to get 75 progressive prosecutors elected, according to a new explosive report. Well, I've known about this, and it does not set well with me as an advocate for justice. we should not have our prosecutors, our attorney generals, or our USAG, or our judges, or our district attorneys funded by billionaires and by the public, period. They should be nominated by the Department of Justice and go to hearings just like the justices do who are nominated. And based on their credentials and based on their prosecutions and their integrity and good character and their carrying out their fiduciary job duties in a good and honest and fair and just way, be chosen. Because when we have billionaires donating big money to our prosecutors, we have a two-tier justice system, one for the rich and one for the poor. And we are all becoming very poor because they are eliminating the middle class by racking up interest rates and increasing, and not just increasing, doubling the food costs, doubling the construction costs for construction businesses, stalling the cargo, breaking down the food chain during those stupid lockdowns, which were not quarantines. They were indefinite detentions, taking Americans hostage, and most were healthy, and children have a 99.99% recovery rate, even if they ever got COVID, which they never get COVID, hardly ever, in America. And then taking away ivermectin and hydrochloroquine from the doctors who prescribed it for years and used it and was 100% safe and effective, approved by the FDA. So if that makes any sense to anyone else, because it makes no sense to me, well, maybe I'm the one who needs to go back to the drawing board and do more research. But I don't think I'm the one. So anyway, those district attorneys who are spread across the country have overseen soaring crime rates in America's largest cities while incarceration plummets. These Democrats have let out, since Obama took office and Biden in 2009, terrorists who murdered Americans, U.S. Navy SEALs, and military out of Gitmo. They have let felons out of prisons in California and New York while they arrested Christians who went to church on Sunday during their so-called lockdowns, which were indefinite detentions, and isolating Americans as if we were the criminals, as if we were their property and their chattel, and they could do whatever they want to us and use us as human lab rats for their human chattel, their human collateral, their human capital, or their human collateral is not a good thing. People have died after the injections were rolled out, and there's a 40% increase of death and heart attacks and inflammation in young kids since they were rolled out in 2021, which they ignore. So we have a serious problem in America. Anyway, this 91-year-old philanthropist, George Soros, has funneled millions through his Open Society Foundation. So he isn't personally doing it. He is like using a third party, which would be the Open Society, which he funds, to sway elections in order to get social justice prosecutors installed so they can implement leftist policies. So we are no longer a republic. We no longer have three branches of government. We have Wall Street billionaires controlling our Department of Justice by using financial incentives, donations to administrators of hospitals and nursing homes to go along with their big pharma secret trade secret formula injections and mRNA gene therapy injected into human beings, never used on human beings, after all the animals died from two jabs who were tested. Why would they do that? Why would they start jabbing humans after all the animals died? How does that make any sense to anybody? Why are they allowing billionaires to allegedly buy justice for themselves and their buddies so they are never punished? Only the middle class and the poor are punished because Americans can't afford justice. Is a business. Justice is for some, S-U-M with the dollar sign, and S-O-M-E today in America, which I wrote in my book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, published in 2010, and warned Americans that we were in a two-tier justice system. But in reality, we ended up morphed into a one-tier justice system when Obama and Biden started using executive orders to bypass Congress and the Constitution and write mandates, which are their own laws, mandated upon the people without going to Congress, who are the only body in our government that legally, lawfully, and constitutionally can make laws. It is above the pay grade of the President of the United States to make laws. He can void them after they've gone through Congress and the Senate and been approved, and he can void them or he can approve them. So people are being tricked, fooled to believe we have a three-party system when in reality there are two billionaires on Wall Street who many are members of secret societies, and they're filling their bank accounts while draining ours. When you have to pay a double amount for food since Trump left office, a double amount for gasoline, $6 in California, you double amount in rent or mortgage and taxes and water and electricity, your wages are not going to meet the cost of living. Only people getting rich from this are the bankers and the Wall Street investors, who are not little people like you and me, who are wealthy people making and creating more wealth for them and their family. Well, politicians are doing secret deals with communist China, Ukraine, Russia, and now we have possibly China on our doorstep over down south, possibly around Canada as well. In 2008, I wrote an article published on Town Hall, was up for a very long time, called China on the March. I warned Americans to keep their eye on that sleeping dragon who had their eye on America. I saw them marching through the airports when I visited in Arizona in uniform. Everybody was stunned, including the pilots and the airline stewardess. Nobody knew what they were doing there. They were marching in uniform on U.S. soil. And I saw their naval ships with missiles docked about 2011 or 10 or 11 in San Francisco, along with the Russian Navy. docked in San Francisco, entered our international waters under the Obama regime. We have the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States visiting Obama for 8 years, frequently. We have Jeffrey Epstein visiting Bill Clinton at the White House frequently. So who really is running the country is the question blowing in the wind. So let's get back to this. The 91-year-old philanthropist has funneled millions through his open society foundations to sway elections in order to get social justice prosecutors installed so they can implement leftist policies. Soros has long been known for essentially buying elections. We don't have elections anymore. We're like a banana republic. We're like on the verge of a socialist communist nation. We have BLM saying they're Marxist, funded by none other. Then we have Antifa saying they're communists, funded by none the other. All these anti-Americans who are coming against America with their fake masks on, claiming to be Americans when they're fake Americans, fake refugees, fake asylum seekers. I mean, we don't know who's who in America. Talk about wearing masks. We have tons of people wearing masks and running America into the ground. Parents getting arrested because they oppose what the schools are teaching their children. Parents fund the schools. They pay their wages. They pay the administrative wages. If it wasn't for the middle class, nobody, we wouldn't have a country at all, because the middle class pays for everything. The middle class pays $200,000 for each congressman and senator, $450,000 to the president. Dr. Fauci makes more money than the president of the United States. And why? He goes to Wuhan, and after Obama says there's a moratorium because this research is too dangerous, he goes over to Wuhan. And here we are. We're in a matrix. And we're being strangled by the EMFs and the EMPs and the microwaves and the radiation surrounding the earth and the chemtrails, radiated at the airports with no protection, even over your eyes, cause cataracts, can cause cancer. So financial incentives, are they not bribes? Donating tons of money to prosecutors to put them in place so they can be influenced and penetrated, so that if they get a DUI or get in an accident, all their sins are washed away. But the little guy goes to prison $20,000 later, can't afford the $20,000, then you end up in jail. Is this the America that you grew up in? It's not the America I grew up in. So among those DAs is Los Angeles District Attorney George Gascon, who is coming under increased fire over rampant crime in his city, according to a report released by Pro Police Action Group Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. He was reportedly gifted $4.7 million by the Soros-funded California Justice and Safety PAC for his election campaign in 2020. This needs to come to a stop. The American people need to do something about it, because these billionaires are, says, gifting millions of dollars to prosecutors. How safe do you feel in America now? How safe do you feel? Because the next issue I'll be talking about on the Justice Club is going to be red alert. Russia and China planning simultaneous attack to eliminate the United States and occupy North America, and allegedly they are on our borders down south. And Russia and China are a threat to the United States of America. So why did former Secretary of State fund 20% of our uranium, or send 20% of our uranium to Putin, communist Russia, secretly. Where does all the money go that he paid? Belongs to the American taxpayer. It belongs to the American taxpayer. That woman did not own our uranium, does not own it, did not own it, and that money belongs to the American taxpayer. About, because your life and the lives of your children and everything that we hold precious are sitting on a cliff, and we are about to be thrown over that cliff if Americans don't come together and start demanding and voting in people with integrity, morals, good character, and who are loyal, true Americans before it's too late. The clock is ticking.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.